10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall, the program that offers insight and perspective in these end times. I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in this late hour, the wise person will try to seek God's wisdom about how to navigate the complex challenges that are arising before our eyes. And that's what this program is about. We talk about the end times, we discuss them, because we're trying to understand them. This is our job as end time Christians. And if you're a regular listener to this program, I am confident that you understand this challenge that we are all facing, because the end times is not just a term on the cover of an exciting novel or a movie. The end times is the season that will exist at the conclusion of mankind's journey here on planet Earth. And in this season, there will be great and difficult challenges. Why? Because in the time of the end, mankind will find itself mired in cultural decline. And this decline is going to include a spiritual and moral drought for all of humanity. It's going to be a season of social change where evil will take over the landscape and consume the people and the hearts and the minds of men. And this season is also going to include an overshadowing cloud of darkness and spiritual blindness. And this blindness will seek to overcome all people. It's going to seek to overcome you. It's going to seek to overcome me, my family members, and your family members. And it's not going to be a blindness that will try to only contain itself to the inner city or to the quote-unquote hood. This blindness will be a darkness that will not discriminate against anyone. And it will not limit itself to just the bad people or to the people who deny God. This coming darkness is going to be a shroud that covers the entire planet. All of mankind, folks. And it's going to be a veil that will seek to obscure and block out your ability to see the sun. The Son of Man, folks. It's going to be determined to obscure your ability to find spiritual victory. So why do we do these programs? It's because this darkness is now arriving over the land. It's arriving over this country of the United States and the rest of this world. Most of you are noticing it. You can see it. You can sense it. In the last session of this program, I even brought up that some of us can even smell it. It's a vile scent of sulfur and rotting decay. And folks, no matter how much we dislike this darkness, we're kind of stuck here for now, aren't we? If we are here now, then we need to take the opportunity and make the best of it. I know that this challenge is not easy. It's difficult. Ever since the crash of 08, things have changed over planet Earth, and especially here in America, things have grown very, very difficult for a lot of people. My friends, how many of you ever thought that it would be this hard 10 years ago? In 2004, did you think it would become as dark as it is? I didn't. I don't think any of us really knew what to expect, because we've never been here before. We're in uncharted waters right now. And things are getting weird. Things are getting crazy. And so that's why I do these programs, because God called me to be a watchman. He placed this burden in my heart to seek Him, to study the scriptures, and to place effort in dissecting the signs of the times. And this is not always easy. This comes with a challenge. It's hard. I'm a regular person just like you. I have good days. I have bad days just like you. If you're a regular listener, you know that I've shared that I have some health challenges. But many of you also have health challenges. So, ladies and gentlemen, We are in this end time journey together. And I want to see you make it. I want to see you be able to finish the race. Jesus warned us about this. He said in Matthew 25, verse 6, when he talked about the parable of the 10 virgins who were told to have their lamps filled with oil. And in verse 6, it says, when the midnight cry was heard that the bridegroom was coming, we're going to go out to meet him. And in those words, we can find a hint of the end time conditions that will exist on planet Earth. Because it says in verse 6, when Jesus shows up at the very end, it's going to be at night. Or in other words, spiritually speaking, it's going to be during darkness. And that's why we need to have our lamps full of oil. That's why we need to make sure that we have lamps in the first place. That's why we need to possess a lamp. Which leads us to another question. What's the lamp? Where do we get it? How do we find it? And what's the oil? What does the oil consist of? How do we get a hold of the oil? These are all good questions, and these are the things that we talk about on this program. So folks, as the people of God, as the children of God, there are things that we need to know. There are things that I need to know. I want to know how to navigate this difficult time period, and this journey. I have loved ones that are depending on me to lead them. I'm the priest of the home. As a husband and as a father, it's my job to lead my family. And my brethren in Christ out there who are listening, if you are a father or a husband, if you have people depending on you, then it's your job to find out this knowledge, to search, to seek, to get a hold of the information so that you can lead your family, your loved ones, your wives, your children, so that you can lead them in a manner that's going to be pleasing to God. Because see, out there in the world, out there, especially in these end times, as things are getting harder and harder in America, as we are entering a constitutional crisis, it's going to become difficult to juggle rational thinking that lines up with Scripture and rational thinking that just sounds good. We're going to find ourselves immersed in a battle in our souls and our mind and our spirit to conduct ourselves through these end times in a manner that God will approve of. Because you know, folks, 100 years from today, or 1,000 years from today, or 1,000,000 years from today, the difficult period that we are in right now is not really going to matter. What will matter is what we take into the afterlife with us. What will matter is your testimony when you get to the other side. What will matter is how you conducted yourself now in light of Scripture. Because someday, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to stand. Every one of us, we're going to be before the judgment seat of Christ. We will stand before him and we will give an account. And when we give an account, Jesus is going to bring to the light how we behaved right now during this constitutional crisis. So we cannot limit ourselves to just discovering the measures of survival that have to do with fulfilling a certain role that we have in our minds, like being a survivalist or a militia person or a patriot. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not limit yourself to just being a patriot. Let's look at the big picture. If you're going to be a patriot, be a Christian patriot. And if you happen to work for the federal government or a local government, be a Christian government employee. Be a Christian law officer, a Christian deputy, a Christian soldier. That's what's going to matter, folks. As we journey into this crisis of the end times, we have to be able to journey and walk and conduct ourselves in a manner that passes the test, so to speak. And in order to do that, ladies and gentlemen, we have to operate with the mind of Christ. And this isn't easy. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of opinion out there, but we are not called to follow just man's opinion. We are called to follow the words of Jesus. And the way that we conduct ourselves needs to line up with Scripture. The Bible is the final authority. Nothing can supersede the Scriptures. Nothing. Not a word from man, not a vision, not a dream, not an opinion, not the words of a great author, not a politician. Ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture needs to be our foundation. So that's why we're joined together right now. I appreciate the time that you give me to share my thoughts. Because I'm trying my best to glean knowledge. I seek, I pray. I'm just another soldier in this end time army of God trying to contribute to your success. And that's why we're here. We're seeking, we're searching. So together, ladies and gentlemen. We're trying to figure out this thing. We're trying to fill in some of the blanks. But slowly, we're getting there. Now, on the flip side of this situation, out there, outside your house, the majority of the people that we are surrounded by, they don't care about spiritual matters. They don't care about the things of God. They don't care about standing before God someday. They don't concern themselves with trying to battle temptation and have victory over strongholds. They don't care about that. But praise God, the majority of you do. And that's why you're here, because you're also seeking. So I want to thank you for listening. And I know that lately on this program, we've been on a journey that's been pretty long. We've been studying the Illuminati. And we've been on this journey to dissect a part of the end time New World Order plan that is taking place right now worldwide. It's taking place right now. And we can see it. It's a big plan that's evil. And in fact, Daddy Bush called it a big idea. But I call it a satanic idea. And as we watch it arrive, for the person who's awake, there can be no doubt that this thing is in full swing. This end time plan has many players, and it has many people involved through satanic committees and gatherings, and they go by many names. They have many titles. They wear many hats, and they operate under various colonies of wickedness and wealth. And many of them right now are being allowed by God to pull some of the strings here on planet Earth. They are known by some as the powers that be, but they are infernal villains who are now temporarily controlling this planet. And for a short season, they're going to be allowed to bring their ordered mayhem to our lives. They're going to be allowed by God temporarily. The Bible tells us all about this in the book of Revelation. That's one of the reasons also that this program exists, so that we can know about these people. And one of these villainous groups is called the Illuminati. And how interesting is it that Hollywood painted them as noble historian gatekeepers in that movie National Treasure? But ladies and gentlemen, to them, doing good means serving Mother Earth from your intrusive footprint. You want to summarize how they think and what they're about and what their motives are? Well, here it is. How dare you breathe and pollute the air with your carbon dioxide? You see, folks, that's their thought pattern. You're the enemy. They consider your life as a U.S. citizen excessive to North American wildlife. And in their eyes, this planet has become too crowded. They believe that this planet must be purged to a manageable level. So right now, in the year 2014, in their eyes, they consider the Earth in a crisis. So to them, the remedy to this emergency is to take drastic measures. And that's what they're doing. They have a plan, folks, and they have some things that they're going to be doing. Most people don't believe it. Most people say that that's unbelievable. You're making it up. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're a tinfoil hat nutcase wacko to believe this stuff. What's wrong with you, etc. There's a lot of insults thrown to the people who know about the villains of the end time. But folks, it doesn't matter what people think and what the names that they call you, because there's going to be a small, tiny remnant minority of individuals on the earth who will know, and they will be able to navigate. They will be able to endure because they know their God and they know what time it is. And I give thanks to God that many of you know what time it is. Folks, we have great challenges ahead of us. And one of the biggest challenges is to be able to juggle the validity of the present end time crisis and to try to live a normal life, to try to be able to enjoy our lives, to try to be able to smell the flowers, to take the time with your families, to find rest. The Bible tells us that there's a time and a place for everything under heaven. So there is a time to know this stuff, and then there's a time to live your life and to enjoy the things that God has done for you. If you're just finding out about the New World Order, I know that this information can be overwhelming. I know that it can be hard to take, hard to handle, hard to digest. It can be shocking, frustrating, overwhelming. It can be draining. I know it can be all those things because I've gone through that journey myself, the journey of discovery. And most of you that are regular listeners, if you are seasoned veterans of the end times, you also went through this transition. But it's necessary for everyone that wants to be awake and discover it. There's a withdrawal that's necessary to go through to get rid of the blindness. We have to go through it, folks, but at the same time, we have to continue and join our families. Because maybe you heard about this program, or maybe you read something about this ministry, or me, Nathan Liao. You know, folks, there's a lot of disinformation out there about everything. When it comes to the end time watchmen that exist out there, and to those that are on the front line, up on the wall, trying to warn the world and America, there are liars out there in internet land that will try to dismiss the job that the watchmen of God are doing. And there are shills that exist out there. There are minions of Satan that are out there, and government trolls and employees of the New World Order whose job it is to dismiss those of us that are trying to bring you the truth. And they'll throw things out there. They'll make up lies. They'll say things about the watchmen of God that aren't true. And I know that there are lies out there being told about me. Every now and then I run across one or two, or someone will email me one and say, Nathan, did you know you're a Jehovah's Witness? Someone on a forum is telling everybody that you're a Jehovah's Witness and all the other ones are believing it. And you know, folks, that's just an example of the lies that are out there. By the way, for the record, I am not a Jehovah's Witness. But there are people out there. One person will say Nathan's a Jehovah's Witness because he uses the term Jehovah, so he must be a Jehovah's Witness, and everyone else believes it. And this shows the level of contempt that people have for common sense and deductive reasoning skills and comprehension and thinking for themselves. This shows that the re-education indoctrination campaign here in America has been a complete success for most of the country, because the majority of people will hear a rumor or a piece of information that's a lie, and without questioning it or trying to find out if it's true, they'll just believe it. So if you happen to be a new listener and you're listening to this program, you're trying it out to see if the rumors that you heard are true, let me just say this, my friend. If you want to know about me, Nathan Liao, go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and there's an about link on my page, and it says what I believe on there. I am a old school individual who cut his teeth in an old fashioned Pentecostal church many decades ago. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Savior. And I do believe that God does miracles. God speaks to us in these end times. There are also other people out there in internet land who do not believe this. They do not believe that God can speak to us through spiritual gifts in these end times. They say that the gifts ceased. Therefore, the people on the internet who claim to hear from God or to have prophetic dreams or visions are liars and making it up, because God doesn't do that anymore in these end times. Now, if that happens to be your theology, I can't help you. I can't change your mind. You're going to believe what you believe. However, if you do believe that God is the all-powerful, sovereign creator who can do all the miracles he wants anytime he wants, then listen to this program, because I'm going to share some of the things that God has shared with me and others. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not serve a wimpy God. We do not serve a God who is toothless. We do not serve a God who does not have the ability to do miracles. That's nonsense. That's rubbish. That is a lie from Satan. I know there's a preacher out there who is saying that the gifts ceased thousands of years ago, therefore people who claim to have spiritual gifts today must be operating under the power of Satan. Well, you know what, my friends? If that's your theology, then enjoy your powerless religion. Because my God is full of miracles. My God can heal. My God can restore. My God can open blind eyes. He can heal the sick and the lame and the deaf and the blind. He can restore the years that the locust has eaten. He can heal marriages. He can heal wounded hearts. He can break the shackles. He can remove the strongholds from our lives. He can restore souls. And ladies and gentlemen, I do not bring a powerless message to these programs. I bring you Holy Ghost truth. We are in the end times, and in the times of the end, God is going to move mightily, not by might of man, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So while we are navigating in these end times during difficult darkness and challenging events, in the natural, it's going to be hard to maneuver. In the natural, it will be hard to try to find the correct thought patterns and intellect and mental strength and clarity. But you know what, folks? We are not just limited to being creatures of the natural. We serve a supernatural God. And if you have been blood-bought and born again by Jesus, if you have repented, and if he lives within you, then God can supernaturally sustain you and give you provision and give you insight and leadership and direction and guidance. So the good news in these end times, my friends, is that God will be there and God is able. He is our rock. He's our fortress, our strength, our shelter, and he can be your protection for your family. So that's our homework, ladies and gentlemen, to get to the place where we operate in that frame of mind, in our spirit and in our heart and in our soul. You're not called to be an intellectual Christian that operates from a dead message. Dead messages offer nothing. They offer no hope. But the Spirit gives life, my friends. And in these last days, God is speaking to his children. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send him. And he's going to teach you concerning all things. He's going to show you things. So ladies and gentlemen, in these end times, God is raising up an army of believers who are not satisfied with a toothless gospel. God is raising up believers who understand the power of his might, the power of his spirit, the power of his gifts. Because in order for us to navigate and fight the powers of darkness, we are going to need the supernatural strength from God, supplied by his Holy Spirit. And for those individuals out there that try to insult the end time watchmen, they're just making it up. There's no gifts. Well, you know what? Then good luck with you then trying to navigate the end times without the power of God. If that's what you want to believe, I hope it works for you. Now, I'm sorry that I got sidetracked, my friends, but I just had to visit that. And from time to time, I do need to do that because Satan's a liar and he will make things up because he wants you to be defeated. He wants you to discount the truth. He wants you to just exist and struggle. But folks, we're not in normal days anymore. We are in the end times. And surviving the end times will not happen by status quo Christianity. It's going to only occur by overwhelming, powerful, spirit-filled Christianity. That's it, folks. Radical Christianity. Satan is coming over this planet and he wants to destroy all humans. He wants to depopulate this world. And right now he has an indoctrination campaign that's making people accept that kind of thinking. Agenda 21, that's the religion of the end times. Depopulate, make people sterile, re-educate people that capitalism is bad and that they are global citizens. Re-educate people that first world living causes overconsumption. Therefore, we need to be minimalists. Folks, your children are being bombarded by lies right now. If you are sending them to the government re-education indoctrination centers, they're being bombarded on how to be a global citizen, and they're being bombarded that it's okay to be a homosexual or a lesbian, and they're being bombarded that your parental authority ends when they step into the school, and that the village of the government and the globalism owns them. Folks, there's a huge campaign happening right now. So on these programs, we talk about some of the disturbing elements of the end times, but folks, we have to. I know the Matrix is not fun, but we still got to talk about it because they're calibrating the Matrix right now. Now, over the past few sessions, I've been talking about the Illuminati, and I've also been talking about the message that was displayed in the Super Bowl. I know that I've been on this series for a long time, so this is going to be the final sessions of the series. This is part 8, and we might have a few parts. We might have part 8 and 9. I'm not sure because I'm at the beginning of this program right now, but we might have a few sessions to end this thing, but then we're going to be done. And then in upcoming programs, I'm going to be following up with a message to energize you and to minister to you. If you want to be encouraged and if you want to find strength, hope, I'm going to do some preaching in the next program, folks. By the way, if you're a new listener and you wonder who I am, by nature, at the core, I, Nathan Liao, am a preacher. I'm a Holy Ghost Pentecostal preacher. I believe in the power of God's word because the power of God's word can be like a hammer that breaks the rock into powder. And the rock of our hardened hearts needs from time to time to be fractured and broken down so that God's Holy Spirit can get through and so that the strongholds that want to mess with your life can be broken and so that the shackles that want to attach themselves to you will fall to the ground. So these are the final episodes of the Super Bowl series. Today I'm going to bring some more information. We're going to finish it up of what I believe the Illuminati projected and telegraphed at the Super Bowl. And in these episodes, I'm going to share some very important things. And I'm going to disclose what they're doing right now, folks. Not what they're going to do in the future or next year. We're going to talk about what they're doing now. So please take notes and please share this. Try to relay this information to your family members, your friends, your pastor. If you appreciate the efforts of this ministry, if you've benefited from what we've done, we appreciate it. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Okay, folks, let's get started. Do you have your pen and paper to take some notes? I want to encourage you to do that because I'm going to share a lot of information in these final sessions to wrap up this series. Now, the Illuminati is a group of individuals who are a part of the New World Order establishment to bring this planet into their utopian society where they are in control and where the rest of the world's residents are slaves. And depending on which group you may be listening to, their future world goes by several names. The best way to illustrate the New World Order is to visualize an octopus. It's an octopus with many tentacles, where each tentacle is a different belief system, but the end result is still the same, a New World Order. And here's an interesting side note. The latest Captain America movie that has recently come out was a disclosure about the New World Order. They actually showed the enemy of freedom being an organization called Hydra. Their logo for Hydra was an octopus. In that movie, they revealed some rogue elements that were a part of the regular governmental system, and these rogue elements wanted to cause a false flag attack on the United States. And their false flag was going to sacrifice 20 million Americans. And the reason they were doing this was to bring about their police state of tyranny. So Captain America, being the hero, had to stop this plan from happening. But as I was watching it, I just found so many similarities of truth that were exposed in this movie. I was even surprised that Hollywood made it. And I found out later that the producers of the movie wanted to have this movie as a metaphor of what is happening right now regarding Obama's present constitutional crisis and the things that he is doing here in America. So the movie was kind of a warning to let everybody know what is coming. The reason I'm bringing this up is because in the movie, the Octopus New World Order system was called Hydra. And for those of you that might have remembered, during the 2012 Summer Olympic opening ceremony, there was a portion of the ceremony where they had a giant octopus come onto the field. And it was a blue octopus. It was bigger than a regular city bus. And that thing also represented the New World Order during the Olympic series. And that's another program. I don't want to get sidetracked, but I'm just bringing it up that it seems that the New World Order tentacles are reaching into a lot of different categories of our culture, our financial world, our academic world, our political world, our religious world, etc. So the New World Order consists of several different groups, and each of those groups is working respectively to bring about this plan. The brain behind this octopus creature is Satan, and the tentacles are many of these groups. And these groups have their regional influence. Here in America, we have the Council on Foreign Relations, or the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, Skull and Bones, the Bohemian Grove. Overseas in Europe, we have the Bilderberg Group, the Royal Institute for Internal Affairs, the Committee of 300, the Club of Rome, Tavistock. There are many, many individual roundtable groups that are playing their role to bring about the New World Order, ladies and gentlemen. And it has become so in your face over the last few years that now they are openly announcing their future world, which a few years ago was the future, but now it's the present and it is arriving. And so during the Super Bowl, the New World Order has now taken the task of using the Super Bowl as their PR campaign to let all of us know what they're doing. They love to proclaim their intent, and some of the motives even include a little bit of arrogance. So during the last few Super Bowls, they have now become very bold. And ladies and gentlemen, I have absolutely no doubt that they use the Super Bowl production to announce what they are going to be doing to this planet. Not in the future, but actually now. And these things are going to involve war. They're going to involve financial destruction of the United States, a dollar crisis, and an invasion of great evil. And these things are going to take place in a variety of events that I also believe they showed us. They also revealed how they are able to be successful with this plan. Some of my findings have been disturbing. The methods that they're going to be using against our society and against America are going to destroy our lifestyle of first world living as we know it. I believe that we can conclude that it's going to get pretty difficult in the United States. It's going to get dark. For those of you that may ask the question, Nathan, why are you putting so much stock in what these evil people are telling us? What if they're lying to us? And that's a good question. What if they are lying to us? Well, thus far, it appears that instead of lying, what the Illuminati has been doing is preaching and proclaiming what they're going to do using hidden symbolism. And hidden symbolism is one of their tools where they are able to boast of their knowledge and information that they do not believe anyone else knows about. And for the most part, people don't see it. So as I have examined what they did in the Super Bowl, I don't think that they were doing it to lie. I believe that what they were doing was revealing hidden secrets in a manner that was boastful and arrogant. Because some of the things that they revealed, I don't think that they actually planned for people to notice. For example, in sessions 4 and 5, I showed how they displayed the prepare message many, many times and how they displayed the word prepare over the heads of the fans. And I don't think that they intended for people to notice that they did that. It was supposed to be secret. It was supposed to be hidden in plain sight. So then the question needed to be asked, prepare for what? What were they trying to say? And I went into a lot of detail on what I believe the prepare message entailed. The very sobering conclusion of that was there's going to be fireworks, literal fireworks of destruction come to America and to the rest of the world. So in this program, I'm going to talk about the Budweiser commercial, and then I'm going to conclude with what I believe the Super Bowl told us with the results. Because folks, I believe that the Super Bowl represented some very significant prophetic signs about America. With that, I want to start off by saying this. Over the last few years, there have been several whistleblowers that have come forward that these secret orders do exist. And one of them is the Committee of 300. And I talked about it in our last program. The Committee of 300 uses another branch of their organization called the Club of Rome. And the Club of Rome has a website where they disclose their future plan for the world. In the last program, we talked about this, but the thing that's very disturbing about their plan is that they actually talk about what they believe is going to happen to the population of the world in the coming years and to the economic health of various nations. They spell it all out. It's right in plain sight. It's in the open. They admit that the United States of America is going to be destroyed economically, and it's going to be stagnant, and it's going to be like a boat anchor that is being dragged by the rest of the world. A few years ago, George Soros was interviewed, and on that program, George Soros admitted what the future course of America was going to be, and in so doing, he revealed what the planned outcome will be for the country of the United States. Now listen to what he says right here about how America is going to weigh down the rest of the world, being dragged behind China. Listen to this, folks.
What sort of a financial deal should Obama be seeking to strike when he travels to China next month?
No, I think this would be the time, because you really need to bring China into the creation of a new world order, financial world order. They are kind of reluctant members of the IMF. They play along, but they don't make much of a contribution because it's not their institution. Their share is not commensurate. Their voting rights are not commensurate to their weight. So I think you need a new world order that China has to be part of the process of creating it, and they have to buy in. They have to own it the same way as, let's say, the United States owns the Washington Consensus, the current order. And I think this would be a more stable one. I think the makings of it are already there.
Are people right to start to be concerned about the dollar?
Well, they are, of course, and the dollar is a very weak currency except for all the others. So there is a general sort of lack of confidence in currencies and a move away from currencies into real assets. The Chinese are continuing to run a big trade surplus. And they're still accumulating assets. And basically the renminbi is permanently undervalued because it's tied to the dollar. There is a diversification from assets that normally held by central banks into other assets, especially in the area of commodities. So there is a push in gold, there's a strength in oil, and that is in a way a flight from currencies.
Is there going to be sort of a tipping point, a moment at which the dollar is fatally weakened, or does it just sort of carry on?
Well, as long as the renminbi is tied to the dollar, I don't see how the decline in the dollar can go too far. Now, of course, to some extent, it's very helpful because with the U.S. consumers saving more and spending less, exports can be a way for the U.S. economy to be balanced. So an orderly decline of the dollar is actually desirable.
Does it at some point need also to decline against the renminbi? Does there need to be some sort of a new global currency deal?
Yes. I believe that basically the system is broke and needs to be reconstituted. We cannot afford to have the kind of chronic and mounting imbalances in international finance. So you need a new currency system.
And what about the American concern that aiding and abetting this move away from the dollar as the world's reserve currency ultimately means a weakening of the U.S. economy?
It is not necessarily in our interest to have the dollar as the sole world currency, because as the world economy grows, it needs additional currency. And if the dollar is that additional currency, it means that the U.S. has to have a chronic deficit, and that is not appropriate. So I think it's in our interest as well to reform the system. I think this is a healthy, if painful, adjustment that the world has to go through. The system we have now has actually broken down, only we haven't quite recognized it. And so you need to create a new one. And this is the time to do it.
In the United States, how worried are you about the budget deficit and maybe about the possibility of inflation?
Well, certainly a decline in the value of the dollar is necessary in order to compensate for the fact that the U.S. economy will remain rather weak, will be a drag on the global economy. China will emerge as the motor replacing the U.S. consumer. And, of course, it's a smaller motor because the Chinese economy is much smaller. So the world economy will have less of a motor. So it will move forward slower than it has in the last 25 years. But China will be the engine driving it forward, and the U.S. will be actually a drag that's being pulled along through a gradual decline in the value of the dollar. So there would be a slow decline in the value of the dollar, a managed decline. And that would be the adjustment that it needs to be accomplished. Now, it could actually get out of hand. And certainly the fear of inflation will precede inflation itself.
Okay, there you have it, folks. We could find soundbite after soundbite from the quote-unquote renowned members and framers and supporters of the New World Order. This is just another one. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not bringing this news to be a bummer or depressing or a downer. I'm not saying it to make you sad or to make you worry or fearful. I'm sharing this news so that you can know that things are changing right now. The mainstream media tries to paint a picture of market recovery, but they're lying. And they're supposed to be lying because Tavistock, their PR branch of propaganda, gives them the script where they continue to anesthetize the general population with stories of nonsense that mean nothing. And there's another New World writer, Peter Vickers Hall, who was knighted several years ago. And he said in 1981 that America is going to experience a post-industrial society that's going to be built on the shards of the past. On the shards, ladies and gentlemen. Which means, in their viewpoint, that there's going to be a post-industrial world for America. And this post-industrial world was going to have to crush and obliterate the old world of strong industry. So poverty and stagnation and recession and misery needed to take over the landscape of America. This was stated in 1981. And he went on to also say that part of their motivation in doing this was to demoralize the population of America. Because when people are demoralized, then that causes them to make difficult choices. And the choices are usually geared toward survival instead of doing the right thing. Instead of having scruples, instead of having principles, people would have to make choices based on survival of their family, their lifestyles, etc. So folks, the New World Order campaign that is presently taking place right now in this world is not looking out for your best interests or the best interests of the average U.S. citizen. The present New World Order campaign is looking out for the interests of the emerging markets, which are many Asian countries, and the BRIC nations. And they have already decided that the BRIC nations are going to be the ones that are going to have their turn in the 21st century. And the BRIC nations are Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And over the past few years, they have now decided that China is going to lead the BRIC nations. So they are changing the term BRIC to BRICE, where it's B-R-I-S-E, which is Brazil, Russia, India, and then S is South America, and the E stands for the emerging markets of some of the second and third world countries in Asia. Those countries that, for the most part, have been in poverty in the previous century, where those are the markets that are going to emerge, and as they emerge, America is going to become stagnant, and it's going to drag down the rest of the West, which will include Canada and Europe. So Europe is also going to struggle. So those of you that are listening to me and you live in Europe, you're part of NATO. Basically, it's this, folks. The countries that are members of either the European Union or NATO are going to struggle, according to the New World Order future plan. Now, this is what they decided. If some of you are listening to this and you say, Nathan's negative, he's a downer, I don't want to listen to him. Folks, I'm just telling you what they said. And if you have any problem believing what I'm saying, you can go to the Club of Rome's website. And it's called clubofrome.org. You can go there and go to the right side of the page, scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see an ad for a book called 2052. Click on that link, and it'll spell it all out. They reveal it, what they plan to do to this planet. Now, in addition to the West being stagnant in their economy over the coming decades, they also plan to reduce the world's population. And this is going to happen through a variety of bad things, like war, pestilence, disease, infertility, poison vaccination campaigns, etc. I have something to play for you right here. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who has played a significant role in the framework of the present New World Order demolition of America, listen to what he says right here. Listen to this, folks.
That for the first time in human history, for the first time in all of human history, almost all of mankind is politically awake. And these new and old major powers face still yet another novel reality, in some respects unprecedented. And it is that while the lethality of their power is greater than ever, their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control.
Okay, there you go. That was Zbigniew Brzezinski, the Polish immigrant with a PhD many of today's New World Order Agenda 21 academic members worship and think that he is infallible. He has written several books about the future of the world, the future of America. And for those of you that wonder why in the world would they do this, here's why. Because Satan has planted a lie in their minds where they believe that without drastic measures, the world will not survive. And the drastic measures include the world can no longer be led by consumer-based economies. In other words, where people are prosperous and they buy stuff and then they throw the wrappers into the landfill. They do not want people buying too much stuff because they say it uses up the resources of the planet. So instead of people being prosperous and buying stuff, they say that the world cannot continue in that way. Therefore, everyone has to be broke and struggle to just barely survive, and then they won't be wasting the resources of Mother Earth. Now, to believe this lie means that they have been influenced by the doctrine of demons and satanic influence. So this is also the reason why when we look at the Agenda 21 Sustainable Development New World Order campaign of the future, we have to include the spiritual aspect where this reveals and proves that the end times are upon us, because the book of Revelation talks about their brave new world where man becomes crazed, where tyrants and dictators take over the planet, where freedom is lost, where a one world global government takes over. When we look at the picture that's painted by the book of Revelation and then we look at the Agenda 21 bullet points, folks, they line up. They match. And there can be no doubt for the skeptic who is struggling with the thought of, well, is God real? You know, folks, I know there's some of you out there struggling with this. You wonder if God is real, if the Bible's real, if prophecy is real, or are these people like Nathan just making this stuff up and trying to claim that it's real? Well, folks, when we look at what's going on in the world right now and we line it up with Scripture, there can be no doubt that we are headed toward the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And thus, we have to have our lives in order because Jesus is real and Jesus is coming back. He's returning. It's going to be a marvelous rescue for all of us that are trying to endure and survive. He is our hope. So I'm bringing this information to share the message of hope in the midst of the reality of challenge and darkness. For those of you that have studied this, I'm not saying anything that you've never heard. However, for those of you that may not know, in the plantation that they have designed for our future, which is beginning now, global corporations are going to control the world. And the global corporations are owned by very wealthy elite individuals. And these elite individuals have bought up most of the existing companies on the planet. In other words, if you went to the grocery store and you looked at all of the food items that are on the shelf, there are approximately 10 companies that produce all the food items that you can find in the grocery store. Now, there might be a few regional independent products that are on the shelf, but usually it's just a matter of time before those independent companies are bought out by the big boys. And when I'm talking about the big boys, I'm talking about Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Johnson & Johnson, Nestle, etc., etc. And these global corporations control the output, the distribution, the pricing, and also the basic ingredients of many of these products. So the New World Order is made up of these corporations who, because they're able to control all the foodstuffs that's on the shelf, are also able to control the advertising and the entertainment that we see on TV. Now, during the Super Bowl, most of the ads that we saw were by these globalist corporations whose leadership is affiliated or a member of the elite club of globalism, like the Bilderbergs, the Council on Foreign Relations, Goldman Sachs, etc., etc. Now, there was one commercial that I want to mention right here. Bono, the singer for U2, there are some people that seem to really love him. Bono is a poster boy for the New World Order. Let me just say it. And during the Super Bowl, he presented a song called There Is No Them. And it had some weird words to the song. There is no them, there's only us, I'm invisible. But when we look between the lines of this song, it has New World Order all over it. It has One World Government all over it. And it also has the powers of darkness and the powers of evil influence all over it. This is the words of Bono's song. There is no them, I'm more than you know, I'm more than you see here, I'm more than you let me be. I'm more than you know, a body and soul. You don't see me, but you will. I'm not invisible. There's no them. There's no them. There's only us. When that song was over, it said on the screen, in support of Red. And then it said Bank of America in support of Red. It was a promotional gimmick to get people to buy the album. But when I saw that, in support of Red, I was wondering, what is Red? Why is Bono saying in support of Red? I decided to do some digging, and it turns out that Mr. New World Order poster boy Bono has several quote-unquote nonprofit charities and organizations that promote various United Nations projects around the world, and one of them is called the One Campaign. This One Campaign is a New World Order front that apparently claims to fight world hunger. On the surface, the average person would say, wow, Bono's One Campaign, I want to give to it because it fights world hunger. That's a good thing. And when I started doing more research on the One Campaign, it turns out that the founders of this campaign were Bono and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Again, on the surface, it would sound good. Wow, Bill Gates gives to world hunger. That's a good thing. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the way that the New World Order operates. They operate under the Hegelian dialectic, which basically means that they need two opposing forces or ideologies to be in opposition to one another. For example, prosperity versus poverty, or hunger versus being fed. And the way that the New World Order uses this dialectic is they control both sides of the conflict. They control the conflict and the opposition. In other words, they are both sides of the argument. So in order for them to prosper in their plan, they have to have poverty. They have to destroy capitalism. They have to keep everybody hungry. They have to have everyone barely surviving. Because if people are barely surviving, then they don't have the energy to revolt. They don't have the mental capacity to formulate plans of revolt. They don't have the mental energy and the fortitude to form oppositional grassroots forces of rebellion and revolution. People can't fight when they're weak, when they're starving. So what the New World Order wants to do is to keep everybody just barely surviving at the level of poverty. And then the New World Order will build a factory in their village, and the people will gravitate to get a job at the factory for slave wages. And thus the factories operate with very minimal investment, which results in profitability for the owners of these factories. So the New World Order's template requires that there is a high level of poverty in at least 30 to 40% of the world. And the poverty continues to build all of the widgets and the gadgets and the nice things for those that are at second world status. So in order to not look bad, and in order to keep the people barely alive and functioning so that they can glue the widgets together, the New World Order funds these foundations and these feeding campaigns that look good on paper, and that look good on a commercial, and they say, we're fighting world hunger, so if you want to donate to our relief program, we'll take your money. So in summary, the purpose of the quote-unquote One Campaign that Bono and Bill Gates founded is to mobilize support to fund international relief programs for hunger and poverty that essentially keep people in poverty. Now, when I was looking at this information and researching this foundation called The One, this organization is the offshoot of a different campaign that was called DATA, which is spelled D-A-T-A, just like it sounds, DATA. So the One Campaign started as the DATA campaign. And the DATA campaign started in 2008. And that was also started by Bono. And it was also funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, as well as George Soros. So the people that are involved in these pseudo Save the Planet type campaigns are a who's who of politicians and administrations and UN ambassadors, as well as Obama insiders and other politicians like Tom Daschle and John Edwards. Now, for those of you that are getting offended that I'm talking about Bono, folks, this is the truth about this whole matter. In this program, I'm going to share about how the media is being used by the framers of the New World Order to keep you subdued and to keep you unaware of the big picture. I'm sorry, folks, if you love Bono, but Bono is window dressing for the New World Order vampire globalist corporations. He's the poster boy. And his purpose is to be the face to keep people pacified, satisfied, and dependent. And these New World Order foundations are not fighting poverty. They're not stopping poverty. What they're doing is just keeping the slaves alive so that they will have individuals to sew the trinkets together. So these foundations are against poverty are really airlifts of bottled water and band-aids to poverty. They're not meant to stop it. They are appeasing the people through clever PR. And it's out of their playbook because to them, it's cheaper to give away bottles of water than to pay higher wages. And this is the way that banana republics operate. They portray themselves as the heroes when they are hypocritically the builders of the gears to keep poverty going. My friends and Bono fans, this is the reality of the New World Order. They play the general population into believing their lie. So folks, if you believe that Mr. Bono is a noble person, you're being lied to. I'm sorry. He is part of the production. He's the spokesperson to keep all of this going. Just look at the words of, he calls his New World Order Foundation the One. And then he called it in support of red. How interesting is it that red is also the color for Marxism and communism? It's also the color of blood. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm exposing another area where the Super Bowl was used as a production for the New World Order to promote their public relations campaign of care. But do they really care, folks? Because in Bono's song, he admitted that he's a mystery. He said, I'm more than you know. I'm more than you know. I'm more than you see here. I'm more than you know. And right now you don't see me, but you will. I'm not invisible. There's no them. There's just us. We are all, quote unquote, one. And that's one of the biggest lies of Satan in these end times. The one world government. And the promotion of their indoctrination campaign continually reinforces this. The concept of one. The theory of one. The village of one. The children are many, but they are one. We all come from different nations, but we are really one. And folks, right now, the entire planet is brainwashing the younger generation to believe this. Right now in American public schools, as well as most of the schools on this planet, the indoctrination efforts of global citizenship are in full play right now. And if you are sending your children to public schools, they are being brainwashed with this garbage. They are being told every day that they're global citizens. They are being brainwashed every day about Agenda 21, about sustainable development, about the evil of man's footprint on this planet, about how humans are destroying everything, about how capitalism is evil, about how the population has reached crisis proportions, climate change and global warming, and how fossil fuels are destroying everything, about how CO2 emissions are destroying this planet. Folks, your children are being brainwashed with all this garbage. And they are slowly being turned to believe in this. They are being brainwashed to believe that the government has a higher authority over families. And speaking of families, they're also indoctrinating your children to believe that families are irrelevant now. That marriage is irrelevant. That a mother and a father raising children are irrelevant. And if a family wants to be homosexual, if it wants to consist of two dads or two moms, then there's nothing wrong with that. Folks, right now, there is so much poison occurring in this world. And I don't mean to be digressing with what's happening in the schools and the garbage that's being indoctrinated in the schools, but I still need to share it. And for those of you that might say, well, Nathan, what other choice do I have? Well, there are other choices, folks. There's homeschooling. There's private schooling. Nathan, I can't afford it. I got to go to work. I'm a single parent. I have to work all day, so I send my children to school. Folks, I'm not saying the answers are easy. I know they're not. But I just want you to know that there is a cost to what's going on right now. There is a cost to every choice that we make. There's a cost. And with every cost, there is sacrifice. With every cost, there is residual damage. With every cost, there's collateral damage. With every cost, there is a result. There's a residue. So what is the collateral damage of Christians who are sending their children to public indoctrination centers. Well, there's no negative cost, Nathan, because my child is a light at public school. They're an example. Well, I hope so, my friend. I hope so. I hope that they're not being changed and influenced. But can you guarantee it? Are you absolutely certain? Oh, Nathan, you're getting into bad territory. Folks, I know. But this is the world we live in. And, you know, think about this. I've heard so many Christians say, if I was challenged to take the mark, I wouldn't do it. I'll let my head get chopped off. There's no way I would do it. I would rather die. And when you ask them why, they say, because taking the mark is bad. It's a guarantee of eternal damnation, which is true. The Bible says so. So it's real easy for people to say that they will never take the mark, quote unquote, or allow their family members to take the quote unquote mark of the beast. But then they throw their children to the beast and allow the children to be indoctrinated by the beast. And then if you ask them, why are you doing that? They say, well, because it's too hard. Financially, it's the only choice I have. I have no choice. So it's easier for people to say they would not take the mark of the beast, but the indoctrination of the beast, they will throw their children to. Now, folks, what kind of sense does this make? I'm pretty sure that what I'm saying right here is not pleasant. I know it's not. And folks, please hear my heart. I am not saying this to condemn. I'm not trying to condemn you, but I'm just placing reality on the table. If any of you say that you would not take the mark, but at the same time, you throw your kids to the lions and to the wolves and allow them to be indoctrinated with all this garbage that I just mentioned, folks, what's wrong with this picture? And then when they become teenagers, they find themselves into drugs, into premarital sex, into fornication, into teenage pregnancies, etc. And then they wonder, how could it have happened? My fellow recruits to the remnant church of God, please hear my voice. We're in the end times right now, and the end times are going to require some radical decisions that will involve sacrifice of different means, possibly financial sacrifice, possibly sacrifice where we have to relocate to a different area, possibly a sacrifice of different things that will not be pleasant, but we have to continually count the cost. There is always a cost, my friends. So I am presenting this information as something to pray about. Pray about it, folks. Now, there's probably a good chance that many of you that are listening to this are older and you don't have children who are in school, but you have grandkids who are in school. Perhaps your children are grown up and their children are going to public school. And if what I'm saying right here is encouraging you to think, and if what I'm saying right here is a challenge, perhaps you as the grandparents can help your children homeschool. Maybe you can teach your grandkids. Something to think about, folks. Something to pray about. I know I'm sidetracking. I know I'm bringing up some other things, but that's what Watchman's Cry is about. We are watching the horizon, and we are seeing the darkness come over this land. And to survive the darkness, the remnant of God needs to think outside the regular paradigm of the New World Order way of thinking. And the New World Order way of thinking has already invaded your village and your town and your city. It's there already, folks. Common Core has already inundated America. And Common Core is turning American students into a bunch of robots who cannot think and comprehend and rationalize the way that we were taught when we were younger. Common Core has a purpose. It is to cause the students to become worker bees and drones. It is to cripple the developmental areas of our children's brains so that they will not be able to comprehend things when they get older. It is designed to purposely cripple that part of our children's development. Folks, it is the dumbing down of American people, American citizens. In essence, folks, they are purposely turning America's younger generation into a bunch of third world type of thinkers with lower education levels. Why? So that the United States will be able to be reduced as an economic power. This is their long range campaign. They plan for all of us old folks to grow up with freedom, with the Constitution, with the understanding of what liberty means. They plan for all of us to die off. They plan to kill off the older ones and the younger ones become their slaves. So ladies and gentlemen, what can we do to stop this? You need to do what you can to make sure that your children or your grandchildren do not fit their cookie cutter mold of a worker bee drone that accepts the New World Order. My friends, that starts with education or the lack of it. Wow, Nathan, that's heavy duty. Folks, I know it is. And I know the subject of this program, the Illuminati Unmasked, that's what I'm doing, folks. We are unmasking them as well as the New World Order. This program is not just about the Super Bowl. This program goes way deeper. This program encompasses everything that they're doing, folks. And if we want to consider ourselves candidates to be in God's remnant, we have to think different and outside of the box, which means this information would not be accepted at a PTA meeting, folks. I know that. This information would anger most of the parents who send their kids to public school. But folks, that's what the truth does. And if we are truly members of God's remnant, we are the light of the world. We are the light on the hill. We're not supposed to be the dark mask of the world. We're not called to be part of the profane ones of this world. You're not called to be part of the world's lost and dying. Folks, we are called to rise above the New World Order, not just because we believe in the Constitution, but because we believe things that are deeper than the Constitution, because we believe things that are spiritually mandated by God. I'm sorry that I got sidetracked, but folks, this stuff is life and death information that I'm sharing. Life and death, folks. We're running out of time. The clock's ticking. Obama has admitted that he is going to be signing some executive orders in his final 2 years in office. And the executive orders that he's going to sign are going to change America as we know it. He's going to sign cap and trade as an executive order. The Copenhagen Agreement that was turned down a few years ago is going to pass. And it's going to change everything here in America. The climate change laws that Obama has planned are going to change everything. Agenda 21 is in motion right now. For those of you that don't know what Agenda 21 is, it's basically the coming dictatorship of this planet that is going to corral humans into the ghettos of the New World Order. Nathan, you're an alarmist. I know. That's right, folks. I am an alarmist. I'm sounding the alarm of the end times. I'm sounding the alarm that Satan wants to destroy you and your family. I'm sounding the alarm that Satan wants to brainwash your kids to accept gay marriage or to deny marriage in general. Satan wants to brainwash your children that it's okay to shack up, to have teen pregnancy, to text abominable images to one another. That's right, folks. I'm an alarmist because this world is headed for hell right now. And we, as the people of God, cannot allow ourselves to think the same way. I'm not bringing this information just to warn you, folks. I'm bringing this information to challenge your hearts and your lives. Stop tolerating the mess that you're tolerating. It's time for us to quit making excuses. John the Baptist said, it is time to lay the axe at the root of the tree. It is time to bring forth fruit that proves repentance, that proves that we've changed, that we belong to God. Ladies and gentlemen, someday there will be no more night, but right now it is going to be night. And that night is the night of darkness. Jesus said, the night will come. This is the darkness I'm talking about. Then after the darkness, the light is going to come, and he's going to split the eastern sky. Jesus, the Son of God, is going to return, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God with us, Messiah with us, is going to return. And when that happens, then we'll look back, and then we'll be able to say it was all worth it. The sacrifices that you make will be worth it. Well, it looks like I'm running out of time in this part. This is going to be the end of part 8. I have a lot more to share, folks. So please go to the next audio where you can hear part 9 of the Illuminati Unmasked, already in progress. I'll see you in a few minutes, folks. Bye-bye.
Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? And can you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the building is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in its grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell
tell me over and over and over again, my friend, I don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Yeah, my blood's so mad, feels like coagulating, and I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, ignores no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, I don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Think of all the hate there is in Richmond, and take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pound of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You could bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next-door neighbor, but don't forget the secrets that you tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend. You don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. I know, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.